Sometimes a second is all it takes. Both the Government Accountability Office and the Small Business Administration recently denied protests because original bids arrived too late, barely. In one case, a reverse auction bid was placed with 1 second left on the clock, but ruled ineligible because it was received seconds late by the other end, the server at the other end. Procurement attorney Joe Petrillo, a partner at the law firm Petrillo & Powell, joins me now with more on these classic types of cases. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so in the old days, people would have to deliver physical packages to agencies, and if it had to be there by 5 p.m., they would literally lock the doors at 5 p.m., and 5:01, you were too late. Same thing has translated into the modern era.
Yeah, we're struggling to take the old rules in government contracting and apply them to new technology. Unlike the old common law mailbox rule, in government contracts, the person doing the filing is obliged to make sure it gets to the right place at the right time, as you've said. And applying those rules in the information age has been challenging. The GAO decision you mentioned involves a reverse auction run for the government by a commercial vendor called Procurex. And the facts there briefly are that there was a 30-minute bidding time. But if the successful bid was placed in the last minute, then there was a 3-minute extension to allow additional bids, and that process went on until the bidding stopped. Well, C2G placed its bid in the last second, but apparently, for one reason or another, its bid was not received until after the deadline had passed, and they were ruled ineligible. They filed a protest at GAO, and they lost.
Well, email is not totally instant. It does have to go through the internet, and sometimes it takes 3 or 4 seconds. So this is apparently what happened?
And that is exactly what happened. The commercial vendor told GAO that sometimes there's a lag of a few seconds to 15 seconds from transmission to actual receipt by the system. So the person submitting the bid in that period of time, and we have to think that's probably approximate, is taking the risk that it won't be received in time. And once again, the risk falls on the party submitting the bid or proposal.
So in some ways, the rules seem to be similar to those of horse racing, where even though the gate has not opened, at some point they have to cut off bids just to maintain integrity of the system so that all the bids are in, closed, shut. Now we'll run the horse race.
Well, you're right. You're exactly right. Integrity of the system is the overriding concern, and that's why one of the rules for accepting a late bid is if no other bids are received. Well, if there's no one else has submitted a bid and your bid is late, no one is prejudiced by that, so the government can accept it.
I guess by submitting it with 1 second to go, they were trying to be like people, just to make another analogy, at a silent auction where you write your name on the list 2 seconds before it's over so nobody can get the signed baseball.
I think that's the game, but it didn't work in this instance.
What was the argument for the GAO for this company to say, well, we should have gotten a chance if they knew the rules?
Well, they seem to think that submitting the bid within that period was sufficient, and that any delay that was experienced was the responsibility of the company running the reverse auction. But GAO held that the opposite was true, that they were responsible for getting it there, and they were responsible for that delay.
Is this a matter of what's written in the FAR, or is it in some legal enabling legislation?
Well, in this instance, it was the rules set up by the commercial reverse auction vendor. That's kind of an exception to the usual case, where the FAR has late bid rules set forth in its in its clauses, but applying those in a particular instance can sometimes be challenging.
Our sister station WTOP runs promotions and things where they give away tickets and prizes for various events and so on. And you have to be up early, as I am, like something like 4 o'clock in the morning. They run their disclaimer, which is legally required, and it says, the contest, we're not responsible, we, the granting party here, which is the radio station, we're not responsible for delays in the mail or in the internet. And so if something has a deadline, it has a deadline.
Well, that's a fairly safe rule to apply in the government environment. The burden seems to be placed in almost all instances on the party doing the filing. And sometimes you wonder if the result is all that fair. I mean, there are cases at the SBA that you alluded to where people were filing size appeals. And in one case, the appellant sent the appeal by email on time on the last day, and SBA acknowledged the receipt of the email, saying it had been the delivery was complete, but no delivery notification was sent by the destination server. So that was kind of an ambiguous response. The appellant waited for quite a long time before it asked what was going on, and the Office of Hearings and Appeals said it never got the appeal, and therefore it wasn't considered filed on time, and they lost. In another case, the company filed the old-fashioned way by certified mail, and it was received by SBA headquarters on the very last day of the appeal period, so it looked like it was okay. But lo and behold, it took an entire day to get from the SBA mailroom to the office that handles the appeals. And the office said, no, it has to be received by us. We don't care when the SBA mailroom got it, so you're untimely. And ironically enough, the Office of Hearings and Appeals said, well, it's worth noting that appellant could have utilized different means of transmitting the appeal, such as email or facsimile. Well, there are problems with those, too, as we've seen.
Yeah, we're speaking with Joe Petrillo, a partner at the law firm Petrillo and Powell. I guess the real lesson then for bidders and people filing for protests is don't wait till the last minute. I mean, it sounds like almost like something, you know, grandma said, but nevertheless, it sounds like a regularly occurring problem for vendors.
Well, that is exactly the lesson to take away from this. And I would also add another lesson here, which is you really can't rely on technology to make sure that whatever it is gets filed on time. You really need to pick up the phone or send an email and check with a human being and make sure it got there.
All right. So are you aware that anyone still sends in packages by, you know, bid packages by regular mail, like or bicycle delivery?
Once in a while, the government requires that. It requires a physical copy. And I have seen that in procurements, but increasingly, things are being filed electronically for obvious reasons. It's just a lot more efficient, a lot more quick. But that hasn't changed the basic need to make sure it gets there on time.
And I guess if you do send electronically, there probably are requirements that it be sent in some format such that the agency can be assured that it's really valid and coming from the party they expect it to be coming from.
Well, that part is still a little up in the air. You know, I suppose anyone can submit a bid and claim it's someone else's bid in terms of doing that either on paper or electronically. It doesn't seem to be a problem that's very prominent or happens a whole lot of times. So that really isn't the issue. I think the issue is more making sure you get it there and making sure it's complete as well.
And looking at it from the contracting officer's standpoint, who's the recipient of these bids, I guess it's probably fair to say that the less discretion you give someone like a contracting officer on something technical, like it's received by 12 noon and not 12 noon plus 1 second, whatever the case might be, the less discretion they have, maybe the fairer it is in the long run for everybody.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, as you alluded to earlier, the integrity of the system is what's at stake here. And so people are, want clear, bright line rules to make sure that something is either clearly timely or clearly untimely. Having all the multiple steps one has in the transmission of electronic documents, there is some confusion about where where in that process you cut the time off, and it's not always transparent to the person sending the information, when things get to where they're supposed to get, or if they get to where they're supposed to get.
Now, let me ask this off the wall question: suppose the CO gets two bids for something, just to keep the example simple, and the one that's well within the window of receipt time is $10 million, and suppose another bid comes in just a few seconds late, but clearly over the line, and they open it up anyway, and it's $9 million. or $8 million, and there's a big savings, and it's all equal otherwise. Can the contracting officer who's saying, oh, this is too bad, can he request that both bidders offer best and finals?
Well, if it's a negotiated procurement, you can, in fact, reopen the bidding. But if you're doing sealed bids, I don't think there's any opportunity to do that. And the government's ability to cancel the procurement and ask for another round of bidding is very limited in the sealed bid situation. So it may depend on what procurement method is being used.
All right. Well, thought I'd ask anyway. Joe Petrillo is a partner at the law firm Petrillo & Powell. As always, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.